Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
He's hit, down, fumbled the ball. It's a touchdown for the Rams.
There's that man, Kevin.
Yep.
You know he's coming at some point in time. Aaron Donald leads the National Football League in sacks.
This is the big dance, you know. We just got to keep playing football at a high level. Don't forget what got us here. Leave everything out there one more time. You know, one more game and opportunity to be a world champion.
Goff takes the snap. He boots out to his right. Throws wide open. Touchdown, L.A.
Brady and Goff.
For me, growing up, you know, he was winning Super Bowls when I was young, when I was, you know, 7, 8 years old. So impressive, and a guy that I had looked up to throughout my whole childhood.
For the win! Touchdown, Patriots! And they're bound for Super Bowl 53!
We're still here! We're still here!
I'm here to talk about the Patriots and the Rams. I have a ton of respect for what they've done and the way they've done it.
Touchdown, Patriots!
My God, the double pump by Brady to have the cojones, the stones to sit in the pocket, calmly give the pump, and it's a pump and go 29-yard dagger!
To have the opportunity to play in this game, I think I just have more appreciation because the older you get, the fewer chances you're going to have. The Rams are, you know, as good as any team that we face all year, so it's going to be a great game.
We're going back, baby, and there ain't nothing you can do about it. America's worst nightmare is back. We're going to our fourth Super Bowl in 5 years.
It's going to be something else down in Atlanta.
It'll be the Rams. It'll be the Patriots. It'll be Super Bowl 53 in Atlanta.
Welcome to the Super Bowl. Welcome to the Super Bowl.
Yo, saddle up, lock and load.
The McNeil and Parkin Show, afternoons 1 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
Yes, we are the McNeil and Parkin Show. Thanks for hanging out with us. It's our Super Bowl party broadcast at the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Stage. We've got beer, we've got pizza, we've got Joe's. And we got the Super Bowl.
Everybody's happy about all of the above. The Boston announcer who said, cojones, I thought Hawk Harrelson was the only I thought he had exclusivity on using cojones. And I'm
that didn't take long.
I'm glad he gave us the translation. He said, the cojones, the stones, to call that play. Thank you. We weren't sure what that meant.
I don't speak Spanish, sir. Please, translate that for me. This hour on The Score brought to you by Family Hyundai. Yeah, man. Super Bowl Sunday, fast approaching. I wasn't really that excited for this game after Championship Sunday, but now I'm ready.
Well, yeah, it's a long refractory period waiting, and I don't know if I don't think you were nearly as phased, maybe not even phased at all by the weirdness of the way that game concluded 2 weeks ago on a Sunday night, as I was. There was a sports hurt for me.
You were pained.
I never had given a damn about the fans of the New Orleans Saints for a day in my life, for ever a minute in my life. I've never thought about them. And I just thought that they were screwed royally more than any fan base, more than any organization in a championship game. And it took me a day or two to shake that off because it was a fantastic game and it has been a damn fantastic season in the NFL. This season, for the most part, the dialogue around it has been positive. There hasn't been, yes, there have been incidents and there's been some things that have, yeah, I got it. I paid attention to what happened in Kansas City with the fine running back, Kareem. I understand some of the things that were negatives about this year, but compared to the previous few seasons, are you kidding me? It was a great year for the NFL.
Yeah, and a lot of it was by design, right? Scoring was up, the young quarterback class took over, and there was a lot more focus on the field. And
better health, too. You didn't see the rash of some of the biggest names in the game 2 years ago went down early in September. You lost a ton of stars right out of the gate.
You know, I was thinking about this, though. If your outcome of the Super Bowl is what's happened, and the Patriots win the game and it feels lopsided, like it feels like they won it easily, they're clearly better than the Rams, and maybe the, the Rams didn't deserve to be here thing crops up. I think that the season will have a little bit of a stain and a stink on it because of what happened in the NFC Championship game. Like, if the Patriots beat the Rams easily, you know you're going to have Saints players chirping that they should have been there. And then there will be a lot of focus of, did we just watch the two best teams? Did we just watch the right Super Bowl? Now, if the Rams
win, think about that, but you're probably right.
You know, because then it'll be the two most watched games, right? The NFC Championship game, the later of the two. Right. Or no, it was the first of the two, but it was 50-something million people. And then the Super Bowl, which will be 110 million people in this country and hundreds more around the world. And if the Rams get blown out, those two games will be linked. The NFC Championship game will be linked to the Super Bowl, and people will be talking about an asterisk and if it should have been Drew Brees and that sort of thing.
Hmm. I don't know. You really think it would...
I mean, I'm not saying right after the fact. I'm not saying that anyone in Boston is going to give a damn. But I could see, you know, Drew Brees maybe not even saying it because he's trying to be very classy. Like, he's going on with Dan Patrick and the Today Show, and he's trying to take the high road. But he said, he's like, I don't know why I had to come out and make a comment on this before Roger Goodell, and it took him 10 days. Like,
well, and Goodell's news conference... was disappointing. Of the things that were, he talked for a long time and said nothing. He should do this, right?
Right.
This would be a good job for Roger Goodell. Just move the meters all day and don't say a damn thing. But he had an opportunity to at least show some of his human side, some of the league's human side, if it has one, and express and acknowledge the gravity of that blown call. To say that, well, we've been looking at replay for 15 or 20 years, that's diminishing how big the flaw in the replay system is when coaches can't challenge everything. And he had an opportunity. He didn't have to say what their plan is or what they're discussing, but he could have let Football America know that the urgency has never been greater than it is right now for them to take a look at making sure that things are done equitably.
And I get it. He could say that he doesn't want to set a precedent by making a statement about every blown call, because there are blown calls in every game. But it was so egregious, and it was the NFC Championship game, that I was just thought, from a PR standpoint, man, just get out in front of it.
Yeah.
So that it doesn't take so long for everyone to keep asking these questions. But I do. I think the Rams deserve it. I think the Rams are really good. I told you I think that they're better than the Patriots, but I obviously could be wrong. I'm a terrible gambler. And so if I am wrong and they get blown out, I think there's going to just be a lot of talk about how we didn't get the true Super Bowl that we deserved.
Yeah, there could be some of that. I'm not going to get my wish. I don't suspect it's going to be closer than what I'm thinking. But I'm going with my gut. My gut says go with the experience. And Jared Goff, who has started slow, finished great, but started slow. We'll see how wobbly he is if he gets down by two touchdowns in the Super Bowl. I don't have much faith in them. If he doesn't have a healthy Todd Gurley too,
right?
And if that game plan gets, you know, blown out because they're down by too much and they just completely abort, your play action's rendered useless if you're not running the ball effectively.
That is absolutely true. Each of the 8 Super Bowls that the Patriots have played in, there's been a tie or a lead change in the fourth quarter. They have no Super Bowl blowouts on their resume. Win or loss.
Patriots, the Brady Belichick Patriots.
Yes, the Patriots in the game. I'm not talking about the 85 Super Bowl.
Yeah, let's not forget their first appearance, which was a very nasty one for the poor guys from Boston.
It doesn't feel particularly relevant to this Sunday's game, but important correction by you, my friend.
Yeah, if it were a fight, they would have stopped it.
That's right. Hey, I might not have been here if that was a competitive
game. That's true. For those of you who don't know that, he was conceived. Yeah, Super Bowl 20 was an aphrodisiac for Big Game Tom.
That's right, Big Game Tom was, you know, the cover was already in the bag. And so I was like, all right.
You think that interception return by Reggie Phillips was impressive, sweetie?
Walter Payton didn't score in the Super Bowl, but my dad did.
Let's make a baby.
Yeah.
We're making a baby after this.
Yeah. I'm proud to be here. They love when I tell that story, too, on the air.
You're quite a Super Bowl 20 trophy, let me tell you.
Yeah. Which do you think Chicago's happier about? Yeah. So I don't know. I think... I got the Rams winning close. I don't know if this Patriots team is designed necessarily to blow anybody out, because they just, man, what they did in that first half against the Chiefs was masterful. They just played keep away from a high profile, high power offense, and I could see them trying to do the same thing.
Yeah, in the divisional round, they were flawless.
Yes, they were.
They were surgical offensively.
They pitched
the
perfect
playoff game.
Yeah,
and I'm expecting some of that this weekend.
So, do you have any Super Bowl, you know, habits, tendencies? You've outgrown Super Bowl parties at this point?
I went to one a few years ago. Super Bowl 49, I attended a party. That was the Seahawks spitting the bet in the worst coaching decision ever made in a Super Bowl when Pete Carroll gave his offensive coordinator the green light to go ahead and throw the ball at the half-yard line instead of giving it to Marshawn Lynch.
More shocked in that Super Bowl or the fact that the Patriots came back from down 28-3, which was more shocking?
Called it at halftime.
Oh, you did?
Yes, I did. Took, you know, people thought I was crazy.
Where are these good
crazy
picks with our show pot?
I had no show pot at the time. I was potless. Well, that's not completely true.
Don't lie to the audience.
That's not completely true.
You haven't been potless since the 60s.
I don't even know if I was on the air or I was working with Pete at the time. I think I was working with Pete McMurray, but... Yeah, that was a remarkable finish. I never will forget that finish. It was football history, and it swung the gamblers more than any. Not only is it the craziest decision a coach has ever made, it swung who won. It swung the point spread. It swung the total. And if you had a prop bet like I did on Russell Wilson to throw an interception, it put that one in the right column for me, too, because that was his first of the game.
Yeah, that's an all-time gambling moment. Like, it's always fun when you profit gambling from like a high-profile sporting event that everybody remembers, and and that's the one for you. But also just the football standpoint, it would have been back-to-back Super Bowls for the Seahawks,
yep,
and then a ton of the fallout around that team apparently came from people choosing sides over that call. People thought that Pete Carroll wanted to get Russell Wilson more of the shine and make him the franchise quarterback, to have him throw the game-winning touchdown instead of giving it to Marshawn Lynch, who was polarizing.
Mm-hmm.
And then Richard Sherman and some of the defensive leaders took Marshawn Lynch's side, and they were upset that Russell Wilson didn't speak out more on some of the social stuff years later. And it just became – they split over that team. We could have been talking about probably not a dynasty or anything like that, but who knows if they would have stayed together.
Danny, some defined dynasty by the back-to-backs, and it precluded them back-to-backs. And in doing so, it keeps the Seattle Seahawks from being mentioned as a Super Bowl dynasty because they didn't win it 2 years in a row.
Yeah.
They still are regarded by those who participate in those sort of things. You watch the top 10 defenses of all time or top 10 Super Bowl finishes when the NFL Network shoves that down our throats for the 2 weeks leading up to the game. The Legion of Boom does make it in the top 10. I think it might even be in the top 5. I watched it last year, and I was surprised they got ranked as high as they were. I agree with it, but I was surprised because they didn't get that second Super Bowl title that they still get that distinction.
Well, they had – the Bears this year had the most interceptions of any team since that Legion of Boom defense.
Mob.
So just, right, yeah, Legion of Boom, Mob, Bears, shut down,
Legion
whatever.
Legion of Boom, Mob, but
whatever.
Chi-town, shut down, Mob.
It's the single dumbest thing we've done as a show since we launched in March, and it's also my favorite.
That's the dumbest?
You think we have something dumber? Oh,
the
you
guy
did
who walked across a Michigan Avenue bridge in a Speedo?
All right.
When it was cold?
All right, checkmate. Hey, you brought it up. Do you want to show the pictures? Can we get the picture of Chef?
Slideshow back there. Put it next to the Art of Pizza sign.
Yeah,
I'm sure they'd be thrilled with that. How about the two idiots that went to Guaranteed Rate Field and held up the Machado sign?
That was brilliant marketing.
Okay.
It was. You guys got in several publications, locally, nationally.
I'm still one
of them. One of them even put our names in there, just Cubs fans.
Stick with me, Shep. In the next 5 to 7 years, we pull a stunt like that again, they'll name both of us. All three papers, we'll get our names out there. But yeah, I stand behind that one.
And you even got some good negative pub, too.
My favorite kind.
Yes, it is, right?
Yeah, I agree.
Someone who called it a stupid radio stunt.
The White Sox. No, I'm just kidding.
Wasn't there a columnist or...
Yeah,
Tony Kornheiser or somebody?
Remember? Russo. Chris Russo,
the
Mad
Dog.
We broke down the anatomy of the trade rumor. because, who was it, John Heyman had written that the Cubs were exploring Manny Machado. So we're like, oh, when he's here, we should go recruit him. We came up with a sign based off of that. And then it turned into, oh, it's only coming from these two idiot radio people in Chicago. It's coming from nowhere else.
Correct.
It's like they're one of the most respected baseball writers in the country wrote the damn thing.
As if we made it up. Yeah, they just completely just
fans
forget.
Posing as radio hosts or something.
Radio hosts posing as fans?
Radio, yeah, he called me, I think he called me a fake radio host. Or something like just a fan who became a radio host. I don't know, but
what is he?
Yeah, exactly. I listened to him talk
about
which
is about okay. There's room for guys like that. I don't have a problem with that. But isn't that what Chris Russo is?
Yeah. What do you mean?
Isn't that exactly what he is?
Is that exactly what all of us are?
No. Some have journalism or broadcast training.
Okay, but they're still saying sports fans.
Right, but a guy who was...
I have journalism and broadcast training, too. But
that's, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
He was a guy like North who just came out of the, you know, came out of the neighborhood saloon to start a career. Wait, that's what he did.
Hey, Mackie, you're telling me that a guy who sounds like this doesn't have formal broadcast training? You tell me I didn't go to school for this?
I don't think he did.
No, he didn't.
No, he was a super fan.
Yeah, he's a Giants fan, a tennis fan.
Yeah. I don't know who to scream at.
You'll find someone.
Yeah. His sensibilities were very offended that I would dare disrespect the cathedral of a May White Sox game against the Orioles.
That's right. 974 in attendance with us that night, too.
He was horrified. I didn't think we were going to be listening.
Yeah, right. Oh, Jesus.
Wow.
I look good. I'm not going to lie.
I mean...
That's a good looking... Thank God I won. Somebody else on the show didn't win.
Did you show Richard Dreyfuss that picture of
should
you?
Should have.
Wow. What a...
Hooper!
Going to need a bigger suit.
Bigger sock. Oh, man. Good for you, Shep. We'll do something again for you in your 33rd year on the
earth. I'm sure.
Yeah, what a great guy this is.
Stupidity tends to find me.
Yeah, it sure does.
Open mouth, say things.
It sure does. But I don't even know how we started talking about this. But the Legion of Boom?
Yeah, we were talking about the Legion of Boom.
Mob. That's what happened. It was the mob that distracted me.
You know, that's it. It's certainly in the team photo. You know, a couple interviews didn't go so great. But that's okay. Keep going to the plate, swing and a miss.
Just take big hacks, man.
It's like rushing attempts. You got to have them. Sometimes you're going to have negative plays. You got to keep running the ball. Yeah. Marlins, man. Oops.
How many times are we going to bring up Marlins, man? Yeah, that was...
That would be one of the worst.
That was certainly one of the worst. Yeah, that's right. By the way, how...
Hiring athletes to commit to weekly appearances?
That wasn't so great. How confident are you, by the way, for 5 o'clock today, Shep?
Like 100%.
100%.
Going to line up a ton of celebrity pickers for the Super Bowl. And we don't know who most of them are. I only know...
You know couple, two of them,
I know two
right?
of them I helped you get. Yeah.
Yeah. I know one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so we're going to see if we can have 15 or more random people rapid fire in one radio segment.
Right in a row. Okay. One into the other. I got an email back today right before showtime that I was ecstatic for because I had not gotten a response. I had followed up twice, had not gotten a response. Sounded like there was no commitment from this person.
And now there's a commitment.
They're in.
Okay.
So this is, and we're not supposed to stop and talk to them too much because we want to get as many.
Why is your reasoning?
Okay.
Yeah, who's going to win the Super Bowl and why?
Yep.
Okay. So we'll do...
No follow-ups.
So he finally has John C. Riley, and we can't talk to him about anything other than the Super Bowl.
Well, hopefully, you know...
Patrick Saint Esprit!
We plant the seed with the Super Bowl pick. Right. We water the plant,
to the plant.
Exactly. Luke Wilson going to join us coming up, and we'll go over some Super Bowl rituals as well. Spiegs is coming in studio at 3 o'clock. It's McNeil and Park. It's on the Score.
I'd like to say I'm really glad and... proud to be here tonight. I'm glad to see Frank's dad made it out. That's awesome. I hadn't seen him in like 8 years. That's great. Congratulations.
I love you, Dad.
True love is hard to find. Sometimes you think you have true love, and then you catch the early flight home from San Diego, and a couple of nude people jump out of your bathroom blindfolded like a magic show ready to your girlfriend, and it stops.
It stops right there. And it continues right here, because I think what my friend Mitch is trying to say is that true love is blind.
I think that's what he meant.
Yeah, that's what he meant to say.
Bottom of the hour on the score, brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Don't miss Coach Collins and the Cats at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this season. Single game tickets available for Penn State, Rutgers, Minnesota, and Ohio State. Buy now at NUSports.com. That was the voice of our next guest, who will be joining us in about 5 minutes or so, Luke Wilson of old school fame.
That your favorite Luke Wilson role, probably?
Yeah.
Old school?
Favorite Luke Wilson movie. I think that his cameo, his small part in Anchorman, is very funny.
Nobody gets an arm cut off better than Luke Wilson.
That's what I'm saying. He's part of the Anchorman fight. And then I also like Blue Streak with Martin Lawrence back in the day. He's Carlson.
Okay.
Detective Carlson. He gets taught how to the real inner workings of being a detective from Martin Lawrence. And hijinks ensue.
He's the talented one. Of the Flying Wilson acting brothers, I would submit to you.
Okay. I disagree. I'm not saying
that. Oh, you like Owen? You think he's got chops? Huh?
I do. I mean, Wedding Crashers.
He looks great.
Yeah, Wedding Crashers is just spectacular. So, Wedding Crashers is just it's a perfect comedy.
Would that be in your top 10?
Yeah.
Wedding Crashers?
Yeah, of comedies. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Con Air's in your top 10 too, though.
That's not a comedy.
Well, that's just a cinematic condition. Film.
Yeah, that's a cinematic classic that was snubbed during the Academy Awards.
How dare they?
Yeah, but no, I mean old school Mitchapalooza. It's what led to Mitch Trubisky, the entire thing.
Yeah, Mitch Trubisky, by the way, and we'll share this a little bit later on. Was a guest on Good Morning Football today. I was busy doing something. I saw him throwing the ball. I have no idea what he was doing. Maybe he was promoting hydration awareness down in Atlanta.
Oh, he's a big fan of electrodes.
Yes, he is indeed. That's right.
So, all right, we'll hear from that later. But the aforementioned Luke Wilson is now joining us, I assume still from Radio Row in Atlanta. He's with us on behalf of Colgate. He will be starring in Colgate's first Super Bowl commercial. Luke, we appreciate the time. How's it going, man?
Danny, thanks for having me on, guys. And yes, I'm here on Radio Row.
I hope you're passing out some Colgate. You know, we've been to a couple of those things. That's not exactly the best hygiene in America assembled on Radio Row with Super Bowl, Luke.
Yeah, you're seeing a lot of guys cruising around in cargo shorts, T-shirts, just on the air. But, yeah, they've been definitely handing out some swag.
Yeah. What's the best piece of free radio swag that you got?
Well, I haven't been getting anything, really. We've just been giving out some Colgate products, which these guys seem to be, like you said, they seem to be pretty happy to get it. I know I had to buy some myself when I first got to town. I didn't do a very good job packing. So, yeah, you can't go wrong with Colgate Total.
Luke, how close are your Cowboys from getting to a game that plays with Roman numerals on it?
Gosh, well, this is kind of a tough subject, and with that new news about Jason Garrett and his contract, I don't know. I mean, I was so excited when they got to the playoffs, and then it's just they never could get it going in that Rams game. And I don't know. I don't know what you do. I feel like Dak Prescott's so darn good, and like Ezekiel Elliott, and it's such a great defense. I feel like they are kind of right on the verge from getting here to the big game. But, you know, it just seems so competitive out there, and all these guys, all these teams just are so, so good. So who knows what will happen, but I'll be right there rooting them along when it does.
You think Jason Garrett has compromising photos of Jerry Jones, or what's going on there?
Yeah, I don't know what's going on there. I mean, I honestly was really bummed out ever since they got rid of Jimmy Johnson. I thought that just he was just the best ever, and the players loved him, and he had a great football mind. And I always just thought that was like a clash of egos. Those guys kind of not getting along. But yeah, Garrett, I've always liked him. I just feel like he's never, you know, quite been able to do it. So who knows what's going to happen. What's your take on it?
I think they're okay, but just they're stuck in that spot where
I'm not a Dak guy.
I'll be floored if they win big with Jason Garrett. He just doesn't seem to do anything.
Right.
It's kind of a problem.
Hey, Luke, I'm thinking about the guys on Radio Row. And, you know, we like things other than sports. We love movies, and I love music. And not everybody who does this sort of thing does that. There might be a few guys down there who've never seen any of your comedic work. And I wonder if they did see Concussion, though, because they're football guys. Anybody confuse you for the commissioner while you were in Atlanta in the last couple of days?
I have not gotten confused for Roger Goodell while I've been here, but it's definitely one of those movies that completely forgot that I played Goodell until this morning when some guys brought it up. But, yeah, I mean, that was Will Smith was great in that movie, and, I mean, kind of handling a very – difficult subject of, you know, concussions and the violence in the sport. But yeah, no one has gotten me mixed up with Goodell.
Was that a weird role for you? Because Roger is, I mean, your characters almost across the board are so loose and so likable, and Roger's kind of stiff.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely one of those roles where it was different from me, and For me, it's like when you're doing a comedy, the goals are so much easier where you just want, you know, scenes to be funny and, you know, you want the other people in the movie to be funny and want it to all kind of come together. It's a lot different playing somebody like Roger Goodell where you just kind of, it more just kind of comes down to you and the director and think, you know, okay, if it's working for the director, then it works for me. But yeah, I have to kind of play somebody like Roger Goodell that is this kind of like stoic, mysterious character that's also, you know, kind of vilified at times.
We're talking to Luke Wilson on behalf of Colgate. He's starring in Colgate's Super Bowl commercial coming up this Sunday. So obviously, you know, old school Anchorman, these all-time comedies, but I was curious about like the current state of comedy. Do you think a movie like Old School gets made in 2019?
Yeah, I was like talking to somebody else about that. We were talking about the movie, the Mike Judge movie, Idiocracy, and like some of the humor in that. I mean, it is strange that you know, these big studios, they really go with like these surefire hits, and they'd rather spend like, you know, $100 million on a superhero movie than take a chance on like, you know, a $10 million comedy. And I don't understand that exactly financially, but you know, you always hear that that's kind of just how they do business. And yeah, Old School, something like that, I just don't know that it would get made in this day and age, kind of in this climate where it's like, what, these guys are, you know, grown men, but they, you know, go to fraternity and they're, you know, having parties where, yeah, you can definitely see that idea getting shot down, which is too bad because people, you know, still like the movie and definitely like miss. And it's not just like comedies like that. I miss like kind of cool, gritty dramas that, you know, were a little darker that don't seem to get made as much, but, I don't know. That makes it all the more special when a good movie does come along.
Yeah, I mean, I think the middle budget movies that you're talking about, absolutely, there's the problem with the superhero movies.
Yeah, they're just kind of gone. But on the flip side, I guess that's where, you know, Netflix and Hulu and other services like that, I mean, hopefully they'll kind of pick up the slack on, you know, more kind of art house stuff, but also kind of more mainstream comedy.
But you know, what about the idea of just like the culture around comedy? And
that's what I mean. You know, it's like if you were to pitch, you know, the idea of Old School or Idiocracy, I can just easily seeing it get kind of immediately shot down, like in today's, you know, climate in the entertainment business where it's, you know, stars. I don't, you know, who knows? But yeah, I think it's a little more difficult to get things like that made these days.
Luke, do you have a rooting interest in this year's Oscars?
I mean, definitely know some people that have, you know, that worked on those movies, like Bradley Cooper's an incredibly nice guy and hardworking guy. I'd love to see him do well, and have worked with Christian Bale and just another incredibly cool guy and just one of those great actors kind of like Gary Oldman, where he totally kind of loses himself in these movies. And then you got people like Rami Malek, the guy that was in the Freddie Mercury movie, where he's great. So, yeah, I just kind of it's always nice to see. And then Pete Farrelly, I'm good friends with. So, yeah, definitely rooting for these people that I personally like. And then also, you know, rooting for those kind of more offbeat movies like Roma to do well and things like that. But, yeah, it's been a pretty darn good year for movies.
Luke, my wife wants to know if there's going to be Legally Blonde 3.
I've been asked that a couple of times today. And, I mean, I unfortunately know about as much about it as she might. But I've heard that there's talk of it. And, yeah, that'd definitely be a fun movie to work on. I'm now, like, running into, you know, moms that are, like, my age that have daughters that they're reintroducing the movie to. So that's always funny to have, you know, some kid that's, like, 10 say that they like this movie that came out, you know, well before they were born.
I'm sure over the years you've tired of stories from doting fans on, oh, I love you and this and I love you. But I submit this every year at Christmas to anybody who will listen to me because I believe it's the most underrated Christmas film ever made, and that is The Family Stone.
Family Stone,
you played Ben Stone in a very endearing role with Craig T. Nelson as your father. And you guys smoked pot together in the bleachers when you got some bad news.
Yeah.
So since my wife likes that so much, she's not so down on me anymore if I blaze up with my 28-year-old. So thank you for that.
You're welcome. You're very welcome. I'm always happy to help bring a family closer together.
Tremendous role model. Luke Wilson with us on behalf of Colgate. Anything we need to know ahead of the big Super Bowl commercial?
No. You guys, I think, pretty much have covered it all. Just I hope you guys like the Colgate Total commercial, and hopefully it plays well. And I really appreciate your guys taking the time and mentioning those movies. And hopefully I get the chance to talk to you guys again. And just appreciate your taking the time.
Thanks, Luke. We enjoyed it, man.
Thank you, Luke.
Okay, take it easy, guys. Thanks very much. See you.
All right, that's Luke Wilson with us on behalf of Colgate. Cool guy.
I'm a Colgate man after that 10 minutes.
Me too. Yeah. He sold the product well.
I'm going to throw that other stuff in the garbage as soon as I get home.
Do you think he's the best-looking person who's ever walked Radio Row?
Well, there have been some dandies.
I mean, it's not
the right guy to ask. You know that. I have no problem gawking at good-looking men.
I know. I'm just saying it's not a good-looking room.
No, it isn't. But guys like that, fortunately.
They show up occasionally.
Yeah, guys like Luke are born. And they get paraded around the room, bacteria row, and everyone just like, wow, he gets to look at that in the mirror every day.
Could you imagine?
Yeah.
What an advantage.
I couldn't. No.
I see someone like that, I'm like, we're the same species, technically.
Yeah,
but you know what I mean? it doesn't really feel like it.
Yeah, you know what they say, though. For every guy who looks like that, there's a guy, you know, who's tired of, well, never mind.
Yeah,
I'm not going to finish that.
That's definitely not what they say.
I'll probably leave that one for the alley.
So you've used the that movie to justify smoking pot with your son?
No. It looks so natural. It's like, you know, a guy having a drink with his son. So I mean, that's
there you go.
Yeah, that's kind of how some people view it these days. If they don't, too bad. So sad.
And they're wrong.
Can't argue with that.
Matt Spiegel will be here in 20 minutes. It's McNeil and Park. It's on the score.
What's up, Mitch? Gatorade Zero, so it's the same great taste, except you got zero sugar.
Perfect.
So for the off-season workouts, the perfect drink, not as much sugar, still replenish all those electrolytes.
Mitch Trubisky loves hydration.
Electroids. He gave us electroids.
What?
We have Wani with electrodes.
Just to try to get those electrodes.
And now Mitch is going with
Punch all those electrolytes.
That's great.
Electrolytes. do you think he loves hydration more than Tom Brady loves football?
Oh, is it possible for anybody to love anything more than Super Tom? Yeah, I don't think so.
I'm not positive how that works.
Brady loves football more than anybody loves anything else.
Replenish all those electrolytes.
It's just ridiculously stupid.
That's how Super Bowl week started. It was, I swear to God, it was 4 minutes after 6 o'clock Monday morning, and Nate Burleson is telling me Tom Brady loves football more than anybody has ever loved anything.
And Brady loves football more than anybody loves anything else.
God, ball, just kick it. Just kick it at that point.
And it was 6:07 on Monday morning?
Yeah, 6:04. It was
6:04.
Yeah, Tanny cut it up. I'm guessing 4 or 5 minutes into the show. It was like,
brutal.
You have got to be kidding me. Did he really just say that?
He loves football more than...
Just to try to get those electrodes.
Oh, my God, is that dumb. Luke Wilson was really cool.
Yeah, he was. He was, you know, the characters he plays, seemingly a lot of him is in them because he was very, very mellow. Just there was nothing uptight about him. And yeah, he was very pleasant. That was just like sitting on a corner bar stool, you know, chatting with friends.
Yeah, it was very, very easy and conversational. And I was thinking about old school just when we found out we were having him on. And, you know, some of that stuff, if you filter it through a 2019 lens, which is not, it's not useful to do because it wasn't made in 2019, but that movie would be not met nearly as well, right? It would not be well regarded. It would not be well received. There would be things in that movie that were problematic, but today.
Yeah, pedophilia in particular.
Yeah, he's
not going to make that movie these days.
Sleeps with the underage girl. She's in high school, not college. But I was thinking, I'm like, I still want them to try to make big, sprawling, push the line.
Well, they can
comedies.
Make her in high school and make her 18.
That's one way
around it.
Absolutely, but
still creepy. But
of course, I guess the specifics of the incident or that movie notwithstanding, but just like all of, you know, 40-year-old virgin, old school, the Hangover, like the whatever that era of comedies was in that 10-year period. It was a great run of comedies.
Yes.
And right now, we're not getting good comedies. They're not coming out.
Well, right.
He was talking about the budgeting of Hollywood, which is definitely a part of it, and the skew to Netflix and all of that. But I think it's also just
Hollywood.
The line is changing so quickly.
Well, and they don't know how to handle it. They're not doing anything. And you mentioned 40-year-old virgin, the scene where they're playing video games.
Yeah.
Do you know how I know you're gay?
Right. Exactly.
That wouldn't get made today. Probably not.
And unless you're doing like a period piece and you're talking about it, and it's dated back then when that type of language was more freely thrown around. And this isn't. I don't think it's not two guys longing for the era of being offensive. It's just I do want the artists to continue to be able to push the envelope. And I think some of what's happening in the stand-up comedy world is ridiculous. Like, you're offended by a stand-up comic? Are you kidding? They're supposed
to be. From the beginning of time, they've been envelope pushers.
They're supposed to be offensive.
Yes, you're supposed to squirm at some of it.
That's what the whole genre is now.
But maybe.
Right. You don't have to punch down, and you don't have to, you know, go to a marginalized group that can't defend itself or anything like that. But we should be able to have a demarcation of what the audience says. Is it funny or not funny? And let the audience decide.
Yeah, I'm all for that. Believe me, I would support that wholeheartedly. It seems like Luke Wilson is aggravated, as a lot of people are, industry people in particular, that if you've got something that's a comic book come to life, that's what they want.
Yeah.
And the genre has come a long way. It's dominating the box office these days. I mean, if you want to make a lot of money, you spend a lot of money and you have guys do superhuman things. You have superheroes.
Special effects.
Yeah, that's where it's gone. And I give them credit for developing that industry. I never was into those things, but when I saw Captain America Winter Soldier, I was blown away.
Yep.
And I've seen a handful of nothing that has compared to that in terms of the action / story / production brilliance of it, but a few that have flirted with it, and they're getting very good at it. Just not what I would want to see. I'm more interested in comedies or human condition films. And this year, we say, there were a few good ones, and I've got several more to go, but both Green Book and Black Klansman were right in my wheelhouse in terms of content for movies that are you're supposed to discuss when you talk about Academy Awards.
Chop movie. I don't watch chop chop movies.
Yeah, not as many chop chop movies. Yeah, and I'm hoping that Netflix, that's maybe their next area of what they decide to throw their weight around with, because they've invested a ton of money in stand-up comedy. And they've, you know, a ton of money in series and episodic television. And they're starting to do more feature films, right? They did like a Will Smith superhero movie. They've got a huge deal with Adam Sandler. Roma nominated for a Best Picture. But I'd love it if they just said, we're bigger than every studio out there. So we're going to be the place where we take chances, and maybe some of it will offend you, maybe some of it won't, but treat it like they're HBO. It's a subscription service.
Yes,
You're opting in. It's not over-the-air television.
Right, right. You have to actually physically, you got to go buy a ticket, and you have to go to the theater, or you even watch it at home.
Yeah.
If you buy it, it's your choice. It's not on public air.
Correct.
It should be all bets off. Do what you want. Let anybody decide. They want to see slashers. They want to see what used to be called, and I've never seen one, but snuff pictures, if you're
familiar. You've never seen one.
Well, I've seen a movie made about that industry, 8mm with Nicolas Cage.
Never saw it.
It's really, really good. And
Gandolfini also, right, Mac?
Yes, Gandolfini also has a piece. That's the first time I saw James Gandolfini in 8mm.
Really?
Yeah. It's pretty damn dark.
Okay.
And I think you'd like it.
Well,
you like Nicolas
Cage,
though. I mean, to me, that's all he did that was worth it. Well, Con Air accepted.
I mean, do I need to force Gone in 60 Seconds on you?
Yeah, you would need to force that.
You never saw Gone in 60 Seconds?
Not interested. Oh, well. I'm hanging out the not interested sign.
Well, I mean, Angelina Jolie, they steal cars. What's better?
Uh-huh.
Having sex or boosting cars? How about having sex while boosting cars?
Wow.
I mean, it's highbrow. It's highbrow dialogue.
That's multitasking personified.
Yeah, it's they name the cars. It's beautiful. There's a dog in the movie. They really just check all of the boxes of things that people like and put it into one film.
Anyway, it's a great film. It really is.
They play the song Lowrider. It's great.
That's a good song.
Yeah. Oh,
I like that song.
It's Donnie Lowrider.
War, I believe, is the band that gave us Lowrider, I think.
What is it good for? Different War?
Different War.
Yeah, okay.
Different War.
Good talk.
Yeah,
Super Bowl coverage on The Score is presented by Sprint. Brighter future for all.
I am surprised you weren't chirping more about Black Klansman. I'm surprised.
We talked about it, but you hadn't seen it. It's sometimes hard to do.
I would have thought that you would have said, man, this is something I think you're really going to like, knowing what kind of pictures you like. I would have expected more of a buzz for you. It seems like more of, if you're going to talk about a serious film, it'd be more in your wheelhouse than some others.
It was. It stuck with me. I have not gone back and rewatched it. Like I said, I thought that the first 100 minutes of the movie or so was awesome. The ending, I thought, was a little too
over the top,
obvious. Like it felt a little obvious to me about where the movie was going and the connection to today. Like he was just, I'm going to make this point. I'm going to connect it to Trump era politics, and you're not going to leave the movie confused with my point of view. And I was like, Spike, I wasn't confused. Like I had it. You know what I mean? That was my only criticism.
That's a movie conclusion's answer to the 2-point conversion, which you favor, because that was a real fancy slam dunk 2-point conversion.
Absolutely.
Oh, get the point? Let me refresh you on something that didn't happen all that long ago.
Right.
I thought it was perfectly concluded.
Okay.
I thought coming in with the big right hand after already being way ahead on punches was just what that film needed to drive home its point.
It was a really good movie. It was obviously a perspective and a point of view that is relevant today and should be discussed. And Denzel Washington's kid might be a movie star. Like that guy might act. He might turn into a movie star. He's really good.
I'm going to. Better yet, a great actor. I'm going to confess something. I didn't know it was Denzel Washington's kid when I sat down to watch the movie.
Really?
And we're about 15 minutes into
the movie. I know.
Okay. I know. Listening's a skill.
Okay.
We're about 15 minutes into the movie, and I make the observation. Damn, his voice sounds a lot like Denzel Washington's.
Are you kidding?
I'm not kidding. I admit it. I said it. I didn't know it was him.
When I do movie reviews of movies you haven't seen, are you present?
I don't know. You're sure I was here that day?
I No, maybe that would explain why you didn't think I was buzzing more about it, but we definitely talked about it.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
I don't recall that conversation.
Yeah, that's all right. I've only seen him in that and Ballers.
On the other hand, I remember your breakdown of A Star Is Born. Tremendous. I remember everything you said about that. Yeah, there's lots of singing and...
Lady Gaga.
Boy, Lady Gaga, she's just terrific. She steals the show. That was your review of it. See,
that
I was
there
for that. I listened to that one.
I think Lady Gaga is going to get snubbed this award season.
Snubbed. No Oscar.
Okay, Swirsk. We've got Matt Spiegel somewhere in the house.
Speed's
I'm not
here.
Sure, but...
Hi, Candy.
That's exactly right. He's going to join us on stage. And thank you all for coming out.
Yeah,
it's the McNeil and Parkins show,
you,
Super Bowl
ladies.
Party. It's McNeil and Parkins on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.